Good day, May.
Kia ora koutou katoa from Aotearoa.
Magandang araw mga beshies.
This is Finding Answer Season 3 with JR.
And Tina.
Hi, Tina.
Hi.
Long time no chat.
Oh, wow.
Parang this week lang yung isang natin recording. Ah.
Parang the other day lang.
Right.
Uy, wait lang. Today, diba, yeah. We've heard Philippines is going through another typhoon. It's typhoon season.
Oh, and it's like typhoon Ondoy levels in some parts of the country, you know, like especially yeah. Marikina and Rizal. Like the floodings I saw in Facebook, in my feed, like the floods. It's kind of like really almost a Ondoy person level. Tall, you know, or like going to the almost to the second levels of the houses, and some houses are submerged really.
Yeah.
So
I've seen a lot of photos, like people waiting to be evacuated from their roof. So really our hearts go out to our fellow Filipinos right now. Thoughts and
prayers. Yes. Prayers for all of you guys, and I hope that we'll continue to be strong amongst everything, all the crazy things that are happening.
Yeah, you can never really discount Filipino resilience, no? Especially during times like this. So
I know, right? With all the things that are happening.
Yeah, so praying for you, Philippines.
Last episode. Yes. Last episode, we heard from the ladies from the Australian Trade and Investment Commission about Australian education, di ba, Tina?
Yes, and it's a nice 101 for our listeners who need a sort of high-level overview about what it's like to become a student in Australia.
And today's episode seems to be the perfect follow-up to that, isn't it?
Yes, of course. And because of that, we've invited a representative from the Victoria University, one of Victoria's leading universities, to talk to us about the ins and outs of being a student. Kumbaga, mga kabeshies, we'll know what it's like once you successfully enroll and start studying in Australia. So, JR, why don't you introduce our guest for today?
That sounds really interesting, no? So yes. Today, we are joined by Ms. Desi Sartika, Regional Recruitment Manager for Southeast Asia at Victoria University in Melbourne. So remember Seb from one of our previous episodes?
Yes.
So Desi works with Seb in promoting Australian education in the Philippines and the wider Southeast Asian region. And she will talk to us more about taking university degrees and tips for becoming a successful Pinoy student in Australia. So mga kabeshies and Tina, let's all welcome to Finding Answers, Desi. Hi, Desi.
Welcome, Desi.
Hi, Jaya. Hi, JR. Hi, Tina. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks
Pretty
for joining
good.
Us.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. I heard from Seth that he had a good session.
Yeah,
oh,
it was really a fun session.
Very much, yeah.
We shared a lot
I'm
of
I'm sure
experience.
Everybody loves him.
He shared a lot of tips, so that was
actually,
really, like,
really
fun
helpful
and
tips, no? And very practical tips as well.
Yeah.
As a student or as someone in Melbourne?
Both, so, actually.
All of his visa journey.
Right? Ah, right.
From
right.
the start of age, because he kind of like went through everything, which is really interesting.
Yep. Four visas, I think. So that was like a full-on journey. So Desi, could you tell us more about what you do in Victoria University?
Okay, so I work for the VU International recruitment team. So we only looking after international students. So I'm in the same team with Seb. Mm-hmm. But I have the best region, which is Southeast Asia.
Yes.
Don't tell Seb that, okay?
Of course. Yeah,
because Southeast Asia.
Exactly, because I'm Philippine in my region, right? Seb always jealous about that. Anyway, that's his loss. So I do travel to Philippines a few times in a year to meet with students, with agents, and I normally go to exhibitions and schools or university as well. Mm-hmm. So I'll do presentations about study in Melbourne or career outcome. But most of the time, I'll basically do a one-on-one counseling with students.
Yeah, that's great. So do you often go to the Philippines, for example, pre-COVID?
Oh, yes, of course. And I mean, all of that example is done pre-COVID. I didn't even manage to step into Philippines this year, where I was supposed to be in Philippines in March. Mm-hmm. All that trips canceled last minute, obviously, because of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. But everything's transferred online now, so we're doing a lot of like webinars, online consultations.
Yep. So I've been meeting students a lot from Philippines through the the channel Zoom. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we'll do a lot of one-on-one counseling as well through Zoom. Just basically talking about what can they do here with Victoria Uni.
Nice. So previously, when you were still going to the Philippines, what are like the most memorable places or maybe food that you have tried?
So I've only been to 4 cities. Well, 3 actually: Manila, Cebu, and Davao. I did go to Pampanga as well.
Oh my gosh! It's like the food capital.
The food is amazing.
Oh yes, I love the food and the size.
There's the portions.
Yes, and then there's always a space for dessert, right? Something the Filipinos dessert, and I'm like, I can't eat anymore. No, I like how they always put something on my plate. I'm like, oh my god, okay. But yeah, so that has always been one of my highlight. Obviously, I love walking around. Well, I do walk around a little bit in Manila. Don't tell Seb. Again, I think in Davao, this is actually not what I tried. I really, really want to try it, but no one accompanied me for this. Is to try Davao durian.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, of course you have to.
Because I heard it's very famous there in Davao, but I've never, tried it. And when I asked everyone, they're like, "We don't know where to find them." And I'm like,
"Sometimes there's one in the hotel, right?" In the buffet.
Can't have it.
No, you actually can bring durians in the hotel. Yeah, because they smell. a lot of like hotels in Davao have those signages. Prohibiting guests from bringing.
I like the luchon. Luchon.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
You need to tell me where I can find luchon in Melbourne.
Yeah, I need to find out too. I'll let you know when I get a really good tip. But I haven't really tried anything as good as the Cebu lechon.
Oh, right. Yes, they're really good.
Yeah. Okay, those are nice topics.
My God, I'm drooling right now.
Okay, going back to our main topic. So, Lizzie, what are the various education pathways or tracks that are available to Filipinos?
It's actually wide range because Victoria University is actually like a dual university. So we have a vocational program and we also have higher education programs so they can do their PhD with us, for example. So it varies from students from K-12 students where they can come into our foundations programs or our diploma program. Most of the K-12 students, if they get good score, they get into our diploma program and then fast track that into a second year. While obviously another type of students will come in to do a postgraduate or master's. I do have a number of students doing research as well over here, which is really, really interesting.
Yeah. When you say, just to clarify it for our listeners, when you say vocational, those are like the tech?
A very hands-on, yeah. So the vocational pathway is very hands-on, very practical. Which I think a lot of the younger students like that idea, where they're not sure yet what they want to do. So they might do about 1 year or 1.5 years of diploma or advanced diploma. From there, they figure out, okay, I like it. You know, I like business maybe, or I might not like business. I probably prefer more science or arts program or social science. That's probably where they go. Mm-hmm. We do have programs like, let's say, in hospitality. So I do encourage students, if you're not sure, you know, which type of business major that you like, because parents still want students to do business major, right? Mm-hmm. Parents will tell you that. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, come and do a hospitality program with us, okay, for about a year. The good thing is then you'll be placed in like coffee shop, restaurants, okay, you'll be a barista as well. Then from there, they'll be like, yeah, okay, I think I like events more. Then they can do an events management course.
Yeah. So it's more flexible in that sense because there are different like sort of tracks within the hospitality.
Yeah. And because it's vocational, there's definitely placements and practical components in the program. So they got actually hands-on jobs experience.
That's great.
It's really nice, no? Because experiential learning is really something that you, or I don't know, for a lot of people, something that they really appreciate, no? When you're actually learning through experience.
And the good thing as well with the vocational is that because they can graduate or they get, let's say, from a barista or coffee shop, they actually get a certificate from us, and they can work professionally as a coffee barista and earn some money. That's really good. Yeah.
Not to say it's a really good life skill, you know, just making your coffee and being able to do latte art, for example. Oh, I've always wanted to learn those.
And before that, I didn't know that you even have a barista competitions where they do arts latte and things like that. World competitions, apparently.
Yeah, I heard about that as well. In your experience and in your knowledge with the Philippines market, what are the usual courses that they are most interested in? What are the courses that Filipinos usually ask you about?
Business still the number one choices, because I guess it's opened up to a lot of industries. Okay. Obviously, the other thing is, I think because Filipino is very sporty, they do like to study sports science with us. And I think partly because we actually rank quite high in sports science, we'll actually do a lot of things in sports science. Some of them has an ambition to open their own gym and become a personal, and they have the knowledge of becoming a personal trainer. But I do meet some students who is very keen to join sports science or clinical expertise because they want to work with elderly. So when I asked him, this is throughout my presentation in school, because he said his grandfather is unwell, and even learning to walk again, and you need someone, and he apparently learned and read a lot how this program will help the elderly. So they want to focus on the elderly group, which is a growing population around the world at the moment as well. We do as well have a lot of interest because Philippines has a lot of SAP connection, so the transport logistic, and now with COVID, that industry is booming because everything is online shopping, and that industry is sending everything is online clouds, like what we are doing now, cloud as well. So that becomes very, very popular.
So what are the programs and courses, for example, related to SAP?
The Bachelor of Enterprise Resource Planning. So the master's program, Master of Enterprise Resource Planning. So ERP, we call it. And we work with SAP directly. So students actually So we actually one of the first unit that SAP opened a next gen lab at VU. Students can actually play with SAP program. They even get a certificate from SAP when they finish our program.
That's cool. And SAP is actually a good, very good career. Just to share with you, I was an SAP HR consultant before. Implement SAP payroll for companies.
So I always say to students, it's a good thing because obviously payroll now goes to cloud. Accounting, tax, submissions all goes to cloud as well. HR, everything goes to SAP, and even now with marketing and things like that, goes to cloud. And we are actually about to launch another program, which is combining SAP systems with transport and logistic. How the computer system will help and manage transport logistics, basically.
So would you consider this program as like one of your best programs that you offer? And aside from that, which ones are like the top that you usually promote to, especially for the Filipino market?
Nursing is top with nursing students.
Until now, right?
Until now, yes, until now. So you still have that first preference from Philippines, which is nursing. I think now SAP has come second, followed by the sports science. So those three, it's becoming very, very popular. Those are the top three, basically, for students from Philippines. We start seeing a small growth for early childhood education. That's quite strange, but I think this is across Southeast Asia. We see that small growth of early childhood.
Interesting. And are there a lot? What's the career outcome, say, for like those courses that you just mentioned? Are there a lot of like opportunities available?
So nursing, I mean, like we all know that health sciences, especially now with COVID, there are a lot of health workers needed. Nurse everywhere in the world. So if you're a nurse, basically, that's one good career outcome. With SAP, accountant, you still do that, or HR consultants as well, you can, okay. Stocks and marketing production, like more of marketing companies start using SAP as well. Retail business especially using SAP a lot. For the early childhood that you are come here, which is quite interesting. So some of them actually become an early childhood teacher or kindergarten teacher, basically.
Yeah.
A kindergarten teacher. And some of them open their own kindergarten. So I think this is a booming industry because people are always going to produce, right? Humans are going to produce. And I think parents are getting more educated on what they want their children. So not just leaving them at home with grandparents or with nanny. They want to get some early educations with their kids. So a lot of some of students actually see this as a business potential. You know, so and they know, but they want to make sure that they have the knowledge on what's best for the kid as well. Yeah. And this program is quite, even though this program is a higher education program, but it's very practical. So you have placements in the kindergartens.
That's true. And what I've noticed is that there's an entrepreneurial track for most of the courses, right? So for example, early childhood education, then I think with sports education, is a sports science as well. Is that correct? Mm. There's always like that track.
Yeah, and the sports science, they go into a gym. Obviously, they open their own gyms. And the other thing that I think people do not realize is the R&D behind sports science. Nike, for example, I probably should not name brand, but sports shoes and clothing, sports artwear, there are a lot of R&D team behind that, that actually, you know, as simple as making sure you're using breathable clothes.
Yeah.
There's actually not as simple. It's not someone designing it. It's actually a team to research on how to they have a breathable artwear. And also for VU, for those of you that watch tennis, the Tennis Australia, where they do the stats on the players, like how many percent they hit the center and things like that, that's actually VU technology. Oh. So we work with Tennis Australia. So see, you can open your own gym in your house, or even bigger than that, or work in the big companies, sports hardware, or even medical, you know, sections. It's huge industry.
Yeah, it could spill over to, you know, different sectors like fashion. Mm. Yeah. So say for example, I've decided to study in Australia. What's the first thing I should do? Where should I go?
Where you should go, I mean, last week you heard from Austrade, go to Austrade website, that's for sure, okay? Mm-hmm. That's the government official website. For us, for VU, I'll say come to our website and have a look at our website. It's www.vu.edu.au. At the same time, you can go to our Facebook, do a lot of Google research as well on the universities. And another help that you can is actually there are a lot of education agents in Philippines, so go to them. They're really knowledgeable, the counselors there. They'll help you and guide you to find a good institution that suit your need, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's my advice.
So yeah. Mga kabesh, sorry, to our listeners, mga kabeshies, last episode we sort of like explained what education agents are. They're sort of like, you know, when you're traveling and you don't want to handle your own visa applications anymore because there's just a lot of information. So you hire like a travel agent. Education agents is something similar in the sense that if you want someone to handle the entire process for you, from like getting the requirements and putting them all together to submitting them to immigration website, that's what an education agent does. And they work a lot with universities, with VU, for example, to, you know, help you decide on what course, what program is relevant for you.
Mm, so in that regard, do you actually really recommend to get the help of education agent, or is it something, the entire student application process is something that can also be done like do it yourself way?
You could do both ways. So you could apply directly with us, okay, or you could apply using an agent. That I would say that's a personal choice. As what Tina said, if you're the type of person who likes to get guided, what am I gonna do? I've done a lot of research, but I got too confused now. feel free, you know, to go to the agent on the help and they guide you. And the one thing is, if you apply with an agent, then you don't have to worry about how am I gonna do my student's visa. Because if you do and apply directly with us, then that's become the biggest thing that you need to do. And I know for some students that's become, oh my God, I don't understand this rule, and they got panicky and they don't know what to do. Okay. So then in that case, go to the agent again. Yeah. Nice. So the agents, our VU agents, for example, they don't charge you. So okay. So they basically giving you a good counseling on programs, on what you need to do for your visa as well. And if they are unsure, they probably can't answer your questions. Again, they come back to us. So it's still, they're going to have to come back to us anyway.
So let me get this straight. It's free to get the help of an education agent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's free.
So might as well, right?
We like that. You know, leverage that service.
Exactly. Right? I mean, like, they're right there in front of you. I mean, like, unfortunately, I can't be in Philippines all the time, right? So then they're sort of like, I see, there you go. They're my second person who's actually there in Philippines 24/7. Well, maybe not 24/7, but they're there.
Yeah.
They have good experience already, right? Like, they know the ropes, the ins and outs of the process.
Yeah, it's a good
exactly.
Before I ask the next question, I just want to know if you have first-hand experience working with Filipinos who have already enrolled in Victoria University, and how they're finding it here in Melbourne.
Filipinos is very lively and vibrant. That's how I see it. You guys are very very friendly. When I come to Philippines, and I must say that before last year, I probably never been to Philippines. I have Filipino friends, but I've never been to Philippines. So when I arrived there, it's just very friendly. So I think coming in also Australia as well, that's very multicultural. So you know, you're gonna be seeing that same spirits, that same smile that welcome you. And then we're very multicultural in Australia. Not to mention, most of Australia cities are in the top 20s most livable cities. Okay, and food. You can try different food. And for those Pinoys or Filipinos who's a bit of a coffee snob, come to Melbourne. We have the best coffee. I'm sorry for other states, but we have the best coffee and our laneways.
Yeah, I know. I don't really understand why it's so good here. Like the coffees, it's really special.
I'm sure, Tina, now when you go to other country and you have their coffee, and you're gonna say it's not the same.
Yeah, I know. And the cafes here, just the experience as well. Sometimes there are a lot of areas just like hipster vibe. Go to Fitzroy,
Brunswick. Yeah, actually, like the charm of the shops there in
yeah, I think that's one thing as well. I mean, like I think when we are in, especially in us in Asia country, we tend to dress up so much, right? When we go out, as simple as having a coffee. But here you can be in the most, I don't know, nicest place or fine dining, and everybody just so chill.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's so laid back.
Yes, that's the one. It's so laid back.
And like when, because I used to live in Brunswick, and you see a lot of people. They're not really into flashy brands, but they go to a lot of like op shops or like pre-loved items, and that's pretty much the in thing, you know.
A lot of hip and fun. A lot of hip and fun. I mean, like you probably find a few restaurants that's actually behind wooden door. You're like, what's behind that? And then suddenly just entered a place so classy, isn't it? But everybody's still so chill about it. And they always say to you, hey, mate.
It adds to the charm, right?
Yeah.
So I think we've answered the question, why should Pinoy study in Australia? Is there anything to add to that aside from the lifestyle?
I probably, not really beside the lifestyle. I mean, like, I guess if I want to say something about what make VU difference, if I can, is the teaching model. So VU has changed the way we teach students, or how students learn, to what we call a block model. So instead of studying four subjects at a time and worrying about four exams at the same time, we now, students actually focus on studying one subject at a time in a block of 4 weeks. so you only focus on one subject. I mean, I can only imagine when I arrive here as international students, sitting in a lecture room with 1,000 students, not making friends, with for at least good 3 weeks. Okay, while here you're in the smaller classes and you focus, so it make it easier for you to adjust as well.
Yeah, and you don't have to get stressed worrying about another subject. You can just focus on that one thing.
I remember I was stressing up that I had 4 assignments due at the same time, panicking, you know, and typical, just arriving, finishing it last night, you know, the last night before the due date. I mean, this is definitely a lot less stress.
And yeah, I think that helps a lot with like adjustment as well. If you're new to a city and you have to adjust and settle in, that's a big factor for helping you, you know, help the dust settle.
Yeah, big time. Sai?
JR, do you want to add something? I think we lost him for a bit. Final word, Desi. Any tips for Pinoys you have been considering and really wanting to study in Australia?
Be open-minded.
It's actually a good approach, you know, in terms of flying.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yes, I think be open-minded as well about the experience, and you also obviously has to be more organized, especially for the younger students, right? Mom and dad is not around, and probably if you have big brother or big sisters, so you do need to be very proactive. The help is there, but if you don't come to us, we wouldn't know as well. That's probably my big tips, and the Australian are not that scary. They might look scary, but they are not that scary.
They're really friendly and like very polite and respectful.
Yes, they do want to know about, you know, your culture. Exactly, that's exactly. Food is the easiest way to offer them.
Yeah, you know, like JR, you were just talking about it like the other episode, right? Like how you introduced, you know, sharing of food in your company.
Yeah, and they're really open about it, really interested about knowing more about interesting things about where you come from and all that. They're just really interested about those cultural stuff. Yeah, so DC, how can our listeners reach out to you if they want to know more about today's episode and VU?
Website is one thing. I believe my email address is there, but if not, my email address is Daisy, so daisy.sartik or Sartika at vu.edu.au. Or easiest way is actually to WhatsApp me at +61, so obviously the Australia code, 466-531-504.
We'll put in your contact details in the post, social media post, and our podcast episode.
I'll be a star after this.
Watch out for texts.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Daisy. It's been very helpful. A lot of tips and new information as well on, you know, what the uni life is like and how VU, you know, support Filipino students, for example. So thank you so much for sharing all those with us.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. So if I can help, hopefully that helps all for students.
Yeah. Should we go to the gimmick segment, JR?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so our gimmick segment for today is hashtag sana nalaman ko kaagad, which in English, Desi, means wish I'd known earlier. So is there anything about Australian culture that kind of like mildly or strongly shocked you or wish you'd known a bit earlier?
I think for me, the first one will be a Barbie. When I first arrived here and on my orientation pack, and then we got thrown a lot of things. The first thing that I always shown is Barbie, and I'm like, you know, all I know is a Barbie doll. So I was like, what are you talking about, a Barbie? You know, and then one of the Australian teachers actually probably see all of us, the international students, got confused with the word Barbie. They're like, it stands for barbecue. So if an Australian tell you that let's have a Barbie, it doesn't mean that you play with Barbie dolls, okay? It means let's have a barbecue.
Oh yeah, I think that's your favorite as well. You have that experience too.
Yeah, I didn't know what a Barbie was as well. I think most non-Aussies would like get shocked when they hear Barbie. Like, are we playing like with the dollhouse or something? But what do you actually do in a Barbie?
We're sausages sizzling in a hot plate and steak. Yep.
Oh my God.
And not to mention, only for 18 and above, beers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could have Barbies either in someone else's house, or you could have it in a park as well, or in a bed forever.
You could have it in a garden. They have a public barbecue place as well. So that's really nice. Or by the lake.
Yeah, that's what I like about the
You were saying like there are a lot of free barbecue for public use. Yeah,
correct,
it's pretty
correct.
Amazing. Yeah, shout outs. I think mine would be pretty different right now. I'll hand it over to Daisy. Daisy, do you want to shout out your education agents just in case our listeners would want to know who to contact in terms of like agents? Is that okay?
Yes. So if you want to contact ACC, IDP, MS, Grisblue, they are there. MS Culture to help you as well. Yeah.
Okay. So ACC, AMS, Bridgeblue, and IDP.
IDP, yeah, Infinity. Or the easiest way is just to go to our website and then there are list of our agents there.
Awesome. What about you, JR?
Nice. Take advantage of that. Actually, don't have any much shout outs, just our hearts going out to the Philippines who is undergoing like a calamity or storm and typhoon. Yeah.
Kapit lang.
Stay safe, everybody. Yes. And
yes, stay safe. Yep. You can do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stay strong. So for mga kabeshies, hope you've enjoyed our topic for this episode. If you have any other topic suggestions, comments, reactions, or any message you want to send, please get in touch with us on our Facebook and Instagram pages, Finding Answers, or send us an email at findingnotanswers@gmail.com.
That's right. And join us again in our next episode of Season 3 of Finding Answers with JR.
And Tina. Bye.
Bye. Thanks,
Bye.
Daisy.
See ya.
See ya.